Good morning. Oh, I wish I can take a snap picture of this down here. It's so great. Someone needs to come and take a picture of this funness. I am Marta Fioriti. I am the associate minister, and it is just so good to be with you on this annual meeting. On this annual meeting Sunday, a time when we are actually celebrating all the amazing work that this congregation has done in the last year. It's pretty remarkable. It is also the season of Epiphany, a time when we can recognize the surprises in our sacred text or in our own lives. And so I invite you to a posture of maybe finding those little surprises this Sunday. And I'm probably going to take a lot of big, deep breaths this morning also. This season, this time, these scripture texts that we have heard in the last couple of weeks point to a critical time in Jesus's ministry. A couple of weeks ago, we heard the story of him asking those new disciples to drop those nets and turn toward a brand new community. And last week, Hal preached on Jesus casting out demons as he was so desperately trying to find and get that credibility as a leader. He was going to show them that what he said he was actually going to do, right? Amen? And then this week, I decided to look at 1 Corinthians, which is in the section of the biblical books called the epistles, which is right after the gospels. And it was about 10 years after Jesus's death. And the main character in this story this morning is the apostle Paul. And Paul was also trying to gain some credibility for his ministry. See, he was just creating and organizing these tiny little Christian communities. And Christianity was not the dominant religion, so it was risky and hard for Paul to do. And so, of course, you heard he wrote a lot of letters, and he was a master organizer. Probably preaching was not his best skill. He was a little dull, they say. But nevertheless, he wanted to proclaim the good news to those communities. And so I got stuck on that word, proclamation and to proclaim. We don't use that word a lot in our world and society. I mean, I'm sure you're not in regular conversation. You're like, I need to proclaim something. That usually does not happen very often. And so then I was like, okay, well, now I actually want to see what Jesus has to say about it. So I went 10 years back earlier to the Gospel of Mark to see what Jesus had to say about it. And he was still casting out these demons. And there was lots of people and there was lots of chaos. So he decided to go and just take a rest and pray and probably take some deep breaths. And then all at once he stood up and he's like, let's go. I need to proclaim the good news, because that is the whole point of me being here, is to proclaim the gospel, the good news. He wanted to reclaim the scripture of his upbringing. And so then I was like, well, shoot, how did Jesus get so stinking wise? And so I went back even further to the ancient world of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And there Isaiah was proclaiming deliverance to the community of Jerusalem that had been in destruction. And that was really hard also. All three of these people, Paul, Jesus, Isaiah, were disrupting the status quo in communities that were really, really hard. Paul with those budding little Christian communities, Jesus under the thumb of the Roman Empire, and Isaiah in a destructed Jerusalem. None of it was easy. Proclamation. Brooklyn spoke to what proclamation can mean. It means saying something really important out loud. It means giving testimony publicly about something that you deeply believe, that you think is right and good and faithful. It means proclaiming, perhaps, the gospel. It means exposing. It means bringing something into the light. It means justice, and it means equality. Often for Black church communities, proclamation is a really important thing. And one of the things they do is they speak truth to power about economics and society around systems of oppression. And they speak it with grace. They speak it with love. They also speak it with power because they have to, because it is life-saving for those communities. And then often for us individually, because let's bring it home, right? To proclaim something means that it forces us into self-examination. And when we're forced into self-examination, that is vulnerable. And so it is really hard and risky to proclaim the good news, right? It was hard for Paul, it was hard for Jesus, it was hard for Isaiah and those communities. So I wanted to tell you a story. One of the churches that I served in the last couple of decades, when I got there, they recently became open and affirming. For those of you who don't know, although I know most of you do know, open and affirming is a designation of the United Church of Christ that says we're not only open to the LGBTQ plus community, but we affirm the worth and dignity of those communities in this church. This church is open and affirming, but the church that I served had literally just become open and affirming. And so a couple of months later was Pride Month. And I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. We're gonna do a worship and learning series on the themes of pride. We're gonna have some programs and book studies. And so we started busting those out, as you can imagine. And then on the fringes, I started to feel some anxiety and fear, and it was bubbling up and it was coming to the center. And so I said, okay, with some of the other leaders, let's have some community dialogues. And so then we put a series of community dialogues together. And to one of those first meetings, I came with the steps for becoming open and affirming. And lo and behold, step 8 is to proclaim your open and affirming stance, to expose it, to tell the world that you're open and affirming because it is good news, because it is life-saving for a whole group of people. So even though this church was settled in a geographical area that was a little bit more conservative, and so they were fearful to hang that rainbow flag on the outside of their building, I said, that's great. And also, because our sacred text, because the Apostle Paul, and because Jesus, and because the prophet Isaiah has told us that we need to risk We need to expose in the name of God's love. So they did. And now their main outreach is to a local nonprofit that is called Inside Out Youth Services that serves LGBTQ plus youth. They risked, and they are risking, and they have the courage to expose that testimony and be vulnerable to the wider community in the name of God's love. So here's the thing about proclaiming. It takes a whole lot of breath, right? It takes a whole lot of breath. That's why I keep on breathing deeply in this moment. And in the Hebrew Bible, the word breath and spirit are the same word. And that word is ruha. And there's literally no reason for you to know what that word is, except I really just like saying it. Ruha. Ruha. But it actually, to say that word takes all of your lungs and all of your breath. And when we breathe in and we breathe out, especially in moments that feel vulnerable or risky, especially in moments where you want to say something hard because it points to the beloved community, you can breathe in. And you know, and you can breathe out. And you know that God is accompanying you on that journey. You know that your breath is spirit, and spirit is God, and God is everything holy and secret, sacred. And so when you breathe in with intention and awareness, it will align your mind, your heart, and your gut. And I love the intersection of spirit and body, or soul and body. Because what I know, and singers, you know this, is that when you breathe in really deeply, like full body breaths, you can project so much louder than if you were just to breathe in quickly and whisper. And the thing about proclamation is that it takes volume. And what I love about that, for me, when I'm in a difficult situation, or when something feels risky, or when something is hard, I can breathe in so deeply that it fills up my lungs, it goes down my entire body, down my legs, and into my arms. And I know that I am filled with God. I know that I am filled with spirit. See, the thing is that if I whisper, then the breath is super quick, and God's only there for a second, right? So we want to take in these deep breaths so that it fills us. The thing about proclamation and to proclaim the good news is that it doesn't just take Paul, and it doesn't just take someone like Jesus or Isaiah or me or Hal. It actually, every single one of you, every single one of you can proclaim. Because here's the deal. If you know love and you know the goodness of humanity, you have everything it takes to proclaim your deepest belief that is grounded in faith, that is grounded in awareness and intention. Every single one of you has it. So in the spirit of annual meeting, because it is going to start to be fun, right? Annual meetings are fun, right? They're fun. when young people, they're like, I need to, I'm going to think about it in a second. I'm looking at Brooklyn, but my daughter always says this one word, and I'll think about it in a second because I'm going to open it up a little bit. In the spirit of our annual meeting, and in the spirit of womanist theologian and practitioner, Reverend Dr. Irie Sessions, she always does this practice called talk back to the text. And so I know that there's people out there that know more about this Bible than I and have some really awesome wisdom and ideas, but maybe you just want to stand because there is something you want to proclaim about yourself or your family or this community. So is there anybody who's up to proclaiming the good news this morning? About Plymouth, about this yourself? Do you have a testimony? Do you have something that you want to project into the world that you want to expose? I know it's going to be scary, but you're going to take that big, deep breath, and you are going to fill yourself with God. What do we have to say, people?
Amen.
That's a cop-out more than amen. Verly, did you take a deep breath?
Yes.
Okay.
I love this church.
It helps if you have a microphone on.
It sure does.
I love this church.
Awesome. Any other? That's anything scary and hard, difficult, risky about your faith, about love, about yourself, about this church.
To invite children into the center of the... Do I need that? To invite children into the center of worship is amazing.
Inviting children into the center of worship is amazing. Amen. That's a good one.
We put our pride flag on our sign, so everyone knows we're open in the
We are proclaiming the good news by putting our pride flag on our sign. Any personal testimonies?
Well, I don't know how personal, but I just want to say this church walks the talk.
This church walks the talk.
Hey, Marta, I have one. Not only do we put the rainbow flag on our sign, but when our sign was vandalized, when that rainbow flag was destroyed, we decided to put it back. And it's still there. And Phil Broadway Bauman actually found someone, and when they found out what had happened, they gave us the sign. So...
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody from the choir have a proclamation?
We proclaim every time we sing.
We proclaim every time we sing. Yes. We can do hard things because we do it in love and we do it together. Thank you. Thank you all for being in this space, for showing up today, for taking the deep breaths, for knowing that your breath is Ruha. Ruha. I love that they are paying attention, right, Megan? I mean, the best part about the prayer ground is Megan down here, by the way. Thank you, friends. Amen.